What is that noise?
It's my sack of nuts.
Sorry, your what?
My sack of macadamia nuts I bought with me as a healthy snack.
Where do you get macadamia nuts from? Aren't they expensive and hard to come by?
They come from one of my favorite places in the world, South Africa, and they are sold through House of Macadamia.
That's incredible, but you go through all of that for nuts?
These are not just any nut. House of Macadamia offers a variety of flavors, including chocolate, coconut, and even a spicy flavor. They even have macadamia nut oil, snack bars, and spreads. Best of all, they're high in protein, they're vegan, they're paleo, and they're keto friendly.
Wow, what did you say the name of that company was again?
House of Macadamia. And best of all, Curve Mundial listeners can subscribe to my personalized box and try their subscription service and see what I'm raving about. Farmers in South Africa get a piece of the pie, macadamia nuts become more available, and you can taste and try different flavors and items. So just go to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and click on the link, which will take you right to my personalized box on House of Macadamia. Also, by ordering from Curva Mundial's special curated subscription box, you get 15% off and a free 4-pack of snack bars are also included.
That's great.
Even better, sales from Curva Mundial's curated House of Macadamia subscription service help fund this podcast. So really, everybody wins.
So all I have to do is go to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and click on the link, which will take me right to your personalized box on House of Macadamia?
Yep. It's that easy. Also, I didn't mention, but Curva Mundial's subscription box comes with free shipping.
Just by going to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and clicking the link, and I get all of this? Sounds like a one-of-a-kind snack and a one-of-a-kind deal to me. Are you a footballer that finds their feet slipping and sliding inside their boots during a match? If so, Curva Mundial has a great solution for you. We've partnered with Technogrip Socks to bring you an exclusive offer on their new Featherlite Grip Socks. Technogrip Socks are different because they provide breathable comfort and next-level grip, but without the annoying bumps or thick and spongy material of traditional grip socks. Designed for athletes seeking sleek performance, Technogrip Socks are specially engineered with a unique grip yarn knitted into key areas of the sock, providing superior control without the bulk. They're lightweight and moisture wicking with midsole compression, so your feet feel great in both practice and games. If you've been wearing grip socks, these are radically different and will take a little getting used to, but once you make the switch, you'll never look back. Head on over to technogrip.com. That's TEQNIGRIP.com and use code CURVA15 for 15% off your first order. Again, head to technogrip.com and use code CURVA15 for a 15% discount. You'll thank us later. Welcome to Curva Mundial.
Hello, and welcome to the Season 7 finale of Curva Mundial. I am your host, Sal Bono, and I am joined by my favorite guest ever, and one of the biggest inspirations in my life. She isn't a celebrity or part of a fan club or an acclaimed author or some sort of social media influencer. She simply is the best person in the world. Please welcome to the show, Azzurri and Messina supporter, my 90-year-old grandmother, Cecilia Maltempi. Hi, Grandma. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Sal. You are my sweetheart. I'm Miss Cecilia Maltempi Di Pietro. I come from Messina, Olivieri. I was in a Second World War, and my life and it was easy.
We're gonna get to that. We're gonna talk all about that now. Your life story I have told in various outlets I have worked for over the years, and because it is one of the wildest and most inspiring stories I've ever heard. And in the background of all this is the legacy of the Azzurrian calcio. So let's start off. As you said earlier, you're from Oliveri in Sicily, which is just outside the city of Messina. What was Oliveri like growing up?
It was beautiful. I live by the water. I was young. I used to play soccer. I love soccer, baby. Believe me. Yeah, I was tough. I was a number one.
So Olivetti, you know, for the people that don't know, was a beach town. It's right outside Messina, as we mentioned earlier. It's a historical place. So at the time when you were a kid, your childhood in Sicily, and all of Italy was under fascist control, what was that like for a family of like yours that was in poverty, and for people like you, my great-grandparents, your parents, that didn't like those ideas? Grandma's going to have a lot of feelings on this one. This is an audio podcast. You can't see her rolling her eyes. So just expect her to go a little hard in the paint in this one.
Why? Because there was that get over there, like a revolution. Nobody like it. My family, nobody like it. My father don't even want to salute Mussolini or whatever. Then the Germans, they started coming. And then they started poverty.
When you were a kid, though, you had to go to school and you had to wear a certain handkerchief. The government made you wear a handkerchief. But your family said no. Yeah.
By law, when you go to school, you got to wear their handkerchief. And my father was engaged. In the meantime, we don't have no choice. We have to wear. Otherwise, we don't can go to school. But then the school stopped because of the war.
So, you know, essentially, you and your family and your parents were, at the time, anti-fascist, right? They weren't, yeah. So, you know, your parents had 12 kids. There was no TV or internet back then. There was not much to do. But you all did what you had to do to survive. What was that like growing up and, you know, seeing people, your family members, not having any sort of luxury? They had to work. So what was that like?
It was a terrible Sal. It was a terrible, not only for me, for everybody. Poverty started to grow up. So my mother, what she used to do, she used to get what can I get it from the cousin. The cousin had like, they live comfortable, but still they was afraid. Then, you know, there was like poverty. That's all I can say. Then we can't have nothing luxury like we used to have before.
You lived in a town where it's on the beach. There's a lot of fishing. You know, yeah. You can do all sorts of nice beach activities, but there was no fun for you. There was no beach.
I remember we had the beach there, and then we get a fish, or we get like, they call them an extra. It means like, you know, vegetable. Whatever we find, we eat it. If we had bread for 3 days, we eat the bread 3 days. You'd be happy what we eat.
What's funny is that there's 12 kids and none of them could really do anything but work. You all had to work. But you had one brother who was obsessed with not working and just wanted to play soccer all day. Okay. So tell me about him.
My brother Don Tino was the one who used to work. Then my brother Rosario, he was in the service. He was in a finance. Then my brother, the other brother. Otherwise, we help the older, help each other, the youngest. But then my brother, the four of them, they went into the war. And we don't have nothing to eat. My father was paralyzed.
So the Germans, as you said, came to town, and suddenly something happened. You had to leave your house.
Yeah.
You then moved into a cave.
Yes.
So talk to me about the experience of being in a cave. What was that like?
The truth. But I tell you, my mother, what she used to say, she was a warrior. My father was paralyzed. In the meantime, my mother, she was a beautiful lady. We used to have it, and then we don't have nothing. So what can we do? My mother says, better we got to prepare. We got to go in a cab. I said, what cab, Mama? Oh, no, says, we got to go. Prepare. Take whatever you can. We get a pillowcase. We put a cloth in there, and whatever we have. And then the Germans, when they came, they could buy my home, and we don't have nothing, not even a house that's away, a roof on top of the head. So we went to the cave, and we stayed there a month and a half, maybe two. Then the God bless of America. They came, and then.
So you're in this cave for almost the whole summer. You're there for just over a month.
2 months.
2 months. And at one point, you and your younger sister, Frances, you left the cave to go and try and find water and food. And you were actually confronted by the Nazis at a well.
Yes.
So what happened? Tell me that story.
Me and my sister, it was a younger girl. I was 10 and a half, and my sister was, I think, 6 or 7 and a half. So in the meantime, me and my sister, we went to get some kind of grape because it started ripe. So while we went to my mother, cousin, in the countryside, and they had a grape. The German, they have the base. So we ought to know this. We are younger girls. So we went to there to get some grape and some food to eat. In the meantime, we see well. We see the 3 soldiers. Who was the Nazis? The German. So my sister, it says, I'm in thirst. I want water. So we want to get water. My cousin and they had a buck to put in the water. When I get it there, I put it up in my head. I see this is 3 soldiers. One of them get in my hair and he want a drink. Oh, I says to my sister, dear God, I says, we're going to be dead. We're going to be mort. Well, one of the guy, it was very nice. I got to say, very nice. God bless his soul. He says, run, run. But he says in Italian. So I don't understand what happened. So the guy says, no, you got to drink. Otherwise, I'll kill you. So get the gun and point in my head. In the meantime, I started crying. My sister says, please. Per favore, per favore. And then we started run.
So the Nazis thought at this well, they thought that the water was poisoned and they wanted you to test out the water to see if it was poisoned or not, right? But one of them kind of took, one said, you drink first and if you don't, I'll shoot you. And then the other was essentially saying like, all right, just let them go. But you managed to get out of there. As you got out of there though, there was an attack overhead. And the same day, you have a gun pointed at your head. Then suddenly you start hearing airplanes and things start coming down from the sky and something happens to your leg. What happens then?
So we started run. Most 1 mile. When we run, it was in a vineyard. In the meantime, I see somebody like a cry. And there was the airplane, it started circle in the air. So the girls, it started shooting. So me and my sister, says, right now we are mortal. We are dead. So the other 3 girls, dead. I see myself full of blood in my leg. They shoot in my leg. That's what I remember. They brought me in a Red Cross in a truck. I don't even know what I was. And they told my mother I was dead. And this I remember now.
So you got shot by one of those airplanes from up above that were circling.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're in the hospital. You finally, and then, but obviously you're alive. You know, everything you get taken care of. And this was around the time that the Americans start driving the Nazis out. They start driving the Germans out.
Yes.
And as you said, your house was under Nazi occupation. They used your house as a hospital.
Yes.
For the soldiers. You know, and then suddenly, once the Americans come and push the Nazis out, you're able to start to go back to a normal life. But there's still so much poverty and there's still so much, you know, that wrong in this whole situation.
So we started this way. What I remember, I was, they give whatever they, medication or whatever, it's to go back to my mother. Instead of they telling my mother I was dead, I know I was dead. So, and that's all I remember. I remember then we don't have nothing to eat, that's it.
So, the objects of war, despite then everything, so after the Americans come and clear out and for and
put surrender.
Italians surrendered, that the fascists surrendered then to the Americans, but the objects of war were still all around the area and it wasn't safe. Your brother Nino, you know, when you guys return home, wants to then, you know, be an active kid. He wants to go and play soccer at a nearby beach with some friends. What happened to him?
Then my brother Dino wants to play soccer. And that, then what happened was, there was still a miner there. And my brother blow up. Him and another guy. My brother still was alive. He was 17 years old. And what he was, excuse me, what he was me, what he was, he came back, they told my mother somebody dead there. And they brought my brother home, he was half dead, but still he was alive.
But then he passed away because
he passed away. Then with the grace of God, we go back to the house after the America, they came. God bless America. That's all I can say.
So Nino, by playing on the beach, he stepped on a landmine. You know, after Nino had passed away and the war had ended, a lot of your family had moved to America, but you had stayed behind in Sicily. What year did you come to America?
When I came here for better life.
No, what year? What year?
1953.
So 1953, you come to America. But before you come to America in 1953, Hollywood then comes to Sicily. And you're part of the first blockbuster movie. You were an extra in the Roberto Rossellini film Stromboli, which starred Ingrid Bergman, whom the both of them ended up having an affair during the making of that film. What was it like working with Roberto Rossellini and Ingrid Bergman on that movie?
I say she's beautiful. It was Ingrid Bergman and Roberto Rossellini. And they chose some girls. They're supposed to go on a boat because at that time they did a Stromboli. When we are there, it chose me to go on a boat. And I went. She was a beautiful, beautiful art, beautiful people. They treat her like a human being, like we are free. And I never forget the day I die.
So you're in this movie, and you're an extra in the movie. You don't have any speaking parts, but they had filmed a lot of...
No, just we sing.
You were singing, right. You're singing on the boat with her in the movie.
We sing.
And what did she say to you? Did she want to bring you to Hollywood?
Yeah. Wanted to see me. I was a regular face. And then she said, "You want to come in America with me?" I said, "Someday, I don't know." I say, "So, and I don't know America, what it is." And it says, "Oh my God, but we sing O Marinaro che tira la Ritz." Otherwise, then song, beautiful. I never forget it the day I die.
So eventually in 1954, you make it to America and you find the American dream. You left a boyfriend in Sicily, but you met Grandpa in Brooklyn. But you also were making really good money as a model in Manhattan. How did you become a model?
My brother Jerry, it was a pattern make. And the boss see, well, I went to see my brother in New York. And there he saw me and he said to me, it says, "Let him turn. I started turning, it says like he says, you know. So he says, "Are you want a job here?" He says, "Oh, I hope so." So they give me a job. The powder make, what they make, they call a powder maker model. They make like a 1954 suit, 1953, whatever. That time was beautiful, the lady. And I did make a good. I give a good salary. And he says to me, no, say nobody here. You are the you are perfect for this.
Of course, Grandma, of course. You know, your story then becomes, yeah, you had a very voluptuous shape. You were perfect for the era.
Beautiful.
You're beautiful, yes, Grandma, yes. You know, eventually your story becomes the American dream realized. You and Grandpa moved to Long Island. You have four kids. You open a restaurant, which is still successful today. You have 8 grandkids and now 3 great-grandkids. When you look back on the 90 years of your life, seeing so much history and seeing so many different things, you know, what do you think about?
Sally, what I think about, God gave me so much joy. When I came in the United States, first I don't like because I left my boyfriend there. Second, I met my husband and then I fell in love. Then I have a beautiful family, 4 girls, 5 boys, and 3 great-grandchildren. And this is my joy in my life. Money don't mean anything, baby. It means just the joy and be together with the family. And I wish all of the world be together, all the family, the way I am across of my family. And this is my, and this is America. And it is God bless.
So, I don't know if you realize, but I did some research, and you're one of the few people alive today that has a unique experience of seeing the Azzurri soccer team, the Nazionale, because you've been alive to see every single one of their victories.
Everything.
4 World Cups, 2 Euro victories.
Yes.
I remember in 2021 watching the Euros with you here at your house.
Yes.
During COVID.
Yes.
You thought England were going to win, so, you know, because I know you love the Queen.
I love her, England.
but you've seen all 6 of their trophies lifted and in different eras and at different points in your life. Every time Italy takes a victory, like, what does that make you feel? Like, how, when you see that team win, you know, what does that do for you?
I feel a full joy to see them, believe in me. I love the team. So that's what can I say to you. In the meantime, I see beautiful Easter thing in my life.
The team these days aren't doing too good. You know, they're not doing great. We're not having them in the World Cup. The last 2 World Cups was not very good. But, you know, do you hope that they'll get better?
Fully joy if they get better. Because I like them very, very much. And I enjoy the soccer, believe in me, 10 and 9 years old. And that's it.
You know, now Messina was another team that you would cheer for as a kid because they were close by. They were in Serie A for a few years and then went bankrupt. And now in lower divisions, the team essentially fell apart, that one that you had cheered for. You know, knowing that they went through so much difficulty, you know, how do you feel about that?
I feel bad, Sal. You know, I hope they make it good in the future.
At 90, do you still love watching the sport?
I watch the sport, which one they play good.
So you enjoy when they're playing good. You know, many of my favorite experiences of watching this sport are with you. I watched the 2010 finale here with you and Uncle Sonny and Aunt Frances. We watched the Euro together, as I mentioned. The 2006 finale, the 1994 finale. But one of my favorite stories was watching the semifinal against Italy and Germany in 2006. And we were down the block at Aunt Linda's house, and it was me, Grandpa, Uncle Pino, Cousin Paul, and some of Paul's friends. And the power had gone out at Aunt Linda's house. And Grandpa had rushed everybody to come to his back here,
come back to your house, like as if he was like 20 years old again. And you didn't know what was going on. We all showed up at the house. There was about like 10, 11 of us. And you freaked out that you had all these people now in your house. You laugh and you remember. And you were upset because you didn't have enough food for everybody. Do you remember that? You remember like...
When they come, all these people, I saw so many people in my house. And I says, how am I going to feed them? But then I was a good cook. I says, oh, you can feed anything. They want to come, full of joy. I don't know what the heck going on. So by enjoy, at the end, I joy. At the end of the night, I was tired. I don't even feel I was tired because I had all of my family here. And we enjoy it together.
Now time for a coffee break.
Curva Mundial is sponsored by Mod Cup Coffee in Jersey City. But you can get it anywhere in the world from modcup.com. Mod Cup, drink modern coffee. Use code MUNDIAL for 10% off your first order.
So now, Grandma, we're in the last part of the interview. I'm going to ask you the same three questions I ask everybody. But we're going to use the Azzurri for this. If you could bring back a former player to the Azzurri, alive or dead, who would it be?
I like to see Roberto Bacci. I like to see him in person. Maybe someday before I die.
Baggio, sta ascoltando questa intervista come nonna. Yeah, maybe one day. If there was one player today that was Italian, and you wish that could be on the national team, who would it be?
I like to see Messi. He's a good guy. Perfect.
Yeah, he would be perfect. Maybe we'd win some games. And finally, what has been your favorite moment watching this sport in your life? What has been the one thing, like if you could take back one memory from watching this game all these years, what would it be?
I always like to see, enjoy everybody together. That's it, it says. That's my speech.
Thanks, Grandma. All right, Grandma. Thank you very much for doing this. You know, at 90 years old, you're still going. You're still going, baby. I love you.
I don't
you.
Know how long.
I love you, baby.
How long, you know? I don't know.
Follow us on Twitter at Curva Mundial Pod and subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. Curva Mundial listeners can get 20% off their next order at Football Devotion. For football designs with a difference, head over to footballdevotion.com and use code CURVA for 20% off your order. That's code CURVA.